folks, it is now 11 o'clock on a Monday, and that means it is time for us to record our daily Epicenter for Monday. Please stay with me right here on KWMR, Point Reyes Station. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m., featuring a wide array of community and public affairs. Today, I'm your host, Amanda Eichstedt, and my guests will be Lainey Hendricks, Public Information Officer from the County of Marin, and Dr. Lisa Santora from Marin Health and Human Services. Hello, and welcome to the airwaves, Lainey Hendricks, Public Information Officer.
Wow, that's an introduction for a beautiful Monday. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. How are you doing?
You know, it's a beautiful day in Marin County, you know, and so far so good. You know, we're making great progress on the COVID-19 response front, and it's a little, you know, kind of interesting because we've had our first red flag warning of the fire season. So I think some of us kind of started this weekend with a collective groan, like, ugh.
I know, yeah. It's only May.
It's only May, but, you know, a reminder, it's for us to be aware of all those things and do our part to be thinking about that defensible space around the home and all those other things that go with fire season.
Indeed. And the one thing that we guess, if there is going to be a silver lining with this, is that due to the fact that there hasn't been as much precipitation, some of the things that you need to cut down might not be quite as big.
Yeah, It's a beautiful silver lining. Thank you for keeping it real and keeping it positive.
You're welcome, Lainey.
And we'll save the rest of that for the gardening hour. That is not this Epicenter.
No, that was at 9. That was earlier today.
So perfect.
So where are we? Are we going yellow this week, or is it another week before we find out, because of last week we found out that we didn't?
Yeah, the clock reset. Unfortunately, you know, we have to have 14 consecutive days of yellow tier worthy data. And because we dipped back into the orange last week, that means the clock started over. So we wouldn't entertain a move until, what is it, May 18th at the earliest. So now we're just kind of in watch and wait mode. And we'll just have to see what happens. You know, we've had some ups and downs. We've made some great strides on a lot of fronts to lower our case rates. And as we've talked about several times now over the past few weeks, that the calculations to move into the yellow tier are so tight, so tight. So
as they should be. I mean, they really should be, right? I mean, that's the whole point of it being much more strict, is that by moving into yellow, it's proving that you are in a place in your community where there is a certain amount of safety based on the number of vaccinations and et cetera.
Yeah, well, and you raised an interesting point there with vaccinations. But yes, it does. That's exactly how the blueprint was designed. Otherwise, we'd all be in yellow by now. And so it's okay, because if we haven't moved, it means we have a little more work to do. I do want to pause and really recognize that this two times, maybe moving, not moving, is certainly not a reflection of a lack of work, because our community by and large has done a phenomenal job doing what they can to try to keep these case rates as low as they can. If we look at, you know, across the majority of Marin County, you know, people have been very good about wearing their masks despite, you know, some reservations at first. And even now that vaccinations have been moving out more widely across the community, I'm still really pleasantly surprised to see a lot of people in public spaces continuing to wear their masks, even with the CDC saying that that's not necessarily required. So that's really good. Now, one thing I do want to mention, you mentioned the progress in vaccinations. What's interesting is when the blueprint was developed, vaccines weren't even on the radar yet. I mean, obviously we had this desire to ensure that they were eventually created, knowing that that would help get beyond this virus. But when the blueprint was created, we were being measured on case rates, obviously, but also testing positivity. And the reason we say testing positivity is it's meant to look at how much testing a community was doing, and then obviously recognizing the percent of those tests that were positive, because the state really wanted to encourage counties to test as much as possible, because the more we test, obviously, the more likely we are to find those cases. And then those cases can be quarantined or isolated, and we can prevent further spread.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, interesting.
And so, you know, Marin County, for a long time, we really benefited from that calculation because we were pretty consistently among the top counties, not always necessarily the best county, but you could easily say in the top five of counties in terms of our testing per capita across our population. And so we benefited from that. And so where we would have our case counts, you know, we talk about the adjusted case rate when we look at our blueprint metrics. And that means they take our case rate and they adjust it based on some of these favorable calculations. And so ours would often be adjusted lower because of our high rate of testing. Well, now we fast forward to now we are well into the vaccine rollout. More than 85%, I think, of Marin County residents have received at least one dose of vaccine. We are inching around that 50% immunity phase, and that is people that have received both doses and are 2 weeks post second dose. So that's their full immunity as it relates to the vaccine. You know, the need for testing has changed.
And actually, right, if you're fully vaccinated and you're past your 2 weeks, they're saying that you really shouldn't be going in to get a bunch of tests because unless you have symptoms or you feel like you were exposed and you have symptoms.
Exactly.
So our testing is going way down is what you're saying.
That's where I'm getting to. I'm trying to build up the story. Yes.
So, yeah.
And even before vaccines were as widely available and people were as widely vaccinated, we have seen just a decrease in testing since the surge of the holidays. So what does that mean? You know, in some ways, we're not going to say go out and get tested because, as you just mentioned, it's not necessarily needed unless, of course, you were a high-risk exposure and you are showing those symptoms. But it just means that we aren't getting as favorable of an adjustment as we used to. So we have to work even harder than we used to. So had we had the level of testing that we did back in January, we might very well be in yellow right now. So it just kind of shows how the calculations work behind the scenes. I think a lot of people, when we say adjusted case rate and every couple of weeks when we're about to move, people will say, like, well, we're in public health. Do you know if you're moving? And we always often say, well, we'll see what the state comes up with. And that's because we're never quite sure what the calculations will look like. And this is one of those calculations. So, you know, will the state take vaccination rates into considerations and potentially update these calculations before the blueprint goes away? That remains to be seen. But it is something to be aware of as we look forward to what's next. I do want to just reassure everyone that the changes that would come with yellow are pretty minor. And so if Marin County, for whatever reason, doesn't move into yellow prior to the beyond the blueprint phase, which is coming June 15th, at least that's what the state has indicated, I don't think we're going to be any worse for the wear. It does mean a little bit of capacity change for a few businesses here or there, but it's not a major shift in terms of our way of life here locally. So just take that to heart. If you're frustrated that we haven't moved to yellow quite yet, we are going to be seeing change easily in the next month.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think I was wondering about that as we were talking about it, because there have been so many folks who have gotten their vaccinations, and it looks like the Pfizer is going to be available for younger folks as soon, youth from 12 to 15. Isn't that what we're hearing as well?
That is what we're hearing. So where we are now is the vaccine is still under review, but the CDC and the FDA could issue an emergency use authorization as early as Wednesday afternoon. And that would give the indication that, yes, the vaccine is available for youth 12 to 15 years of age. Now, here in California, we take one additional step of review just to, you know, be extra rigorous, extra cautious. And so there's actually a Western States Advisory Review Group that will do a similar assessment. And I believe they are scheduled to meet tentatively on Thursday. So as soon as we hear what the CDC determines, then that second group will meet. So as early as Thursday, California could have the green light to begin immunizing 12 to 15-year-olds against COVID-19, which is really exciting if we think about increasing the level of safety in our schools. I think our schools have done a tremendous job showing what really rigorous protocols can do to keep children safe and limit transmission in schools. But as we know, our children deserve a little more freedom and flexibility, as do all of us. And by providing that that vaccine availability to youth, you know, we can get rid of some of these super stringent protocols within the schools and allow them to go back to normal classroom settings and normal school activities. Let kids be kids and let them focus on learning and less about a lot of these additional protocols that they have to have in place until they can be vaccinated.
Well, and also outside of schools, as we're heading towards summer break, and kids are doing more activities with camps and things like that, or they just want to hang out with their friends.
Well, you raise a good point. I mean, kids want to be with each other no matter the setting. And, you know, I shouldn't really stress only schools, because when we look at cases that have occurred among adolescents and even older teens, most of those exposures have happened outside of school. So it's been more of those informal gatherings of, you know, sleepovers or an innocent birthday party or whatever it may be. And while youth typically have less severe symptoms, if any symptoms at all, than adults do, you know, there's still that potential transmission scare for anybody else in the household, whether it be their parent, maybe their grandparent. And so that's another added benefit of getting vaccinated, is just ensuring that those play dates, if you will, are safe, or group activities, day camps, as well as protecting family members in the household.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds really good overall in terms of just increasing the percentage of people who are vaccinated. Now, if people are unsure about the vaccination or they're hesitant about the vaccination, we do have information in our newsletter about there's Zoom calls that people can participate in and learn more about it. We put that in the Laney's Link section every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. in English, and every Thursday at 11 a.m. in Spanish. And I'm sure you can get that information at getvaccinatedmarin.org as well.
That's correct. And you know what, Amanda? I've been talking with the public health team, and we also know that sometimes people prefer a bit more of a personalized approach. And so we wanted to offer to the West Marin community, specifically our KWMR listeners, a special Q&A opportunity. So we'd like to take maybe the first 15 or the full 30 minutes of next Monday's Epicenter gathering, if you will, or episode, to dive into some of this vaccine Q&A. And so anybody that is listening that still has a burning question about the vaccine, whether we're talking about the 12 to 15-year-old category or you're an adult, it's vaccine safety or something else, we'd love to help answer that question. Now, I know Epicenter is not a call-in show, so what we're going to do is invite you to email a question in advance. You can email those questions to townhall, T-O-W-N-H-A-L-L, at marincounty.org, townhall@marincounty.org. Send over that vaccine Q&A question, and then we're going to have a member of, or maybe potentially a couple members of our public health team join us next Monday, May 17th, to answer those questions live on air. So we want to make sure that anybody that has just any hesitation or still just a little bit of concern and would love to be able to talk with a public health official about, you know, what is the latest data and science behind some of these things, we want to be here for you. So send us that question, and we look forward to having that Q&A session with you next Monday, May 17th.
That sounds great. And if folks forget that email, or they are frustrated or can't remember what you're supposed to do, or you have a question that comes up, you can just email me. amanda@kwmr.org, and I'll make sure I put something in our newsletter as well so we can get those questions and I can get those over to Lainey, and we can hopefully have a good discussion on the air next week and invite some folks to join us. It's something that we've been looking forward to doing.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that a lot of people are probably also, maybe some parents that are listening in anticipation for that 12 to 15-year-old approval whenever it may happen. I can tell you, and I'm sure Dr. Lisa Santora, who's going to be joining us here in just a moment, will talk in greater detail. But there's a lot of updates that will be coming in terms of planned vaccine offerings specifically for these youth that will be now eligible to vaccine and their family members. So if a parent maybe hasn't had the chance or a cousin hasn't had a chance to be vaccinated, we want to give them that option too. So we will definitely be getting information out through you, Amanda, on KWMR Airwaves, and always invite people to check out getvaccinatedmarin.org for some of those locations, as well as answering a lot of the basic questions you may have about vaccine and or vaccine access.
You know, it's been a really dynamic situation. Like we were talking about with the testing versus vaccinations and the blueprint for the reopening, things are changing all the time with this COVID situation, and it's been sort of a rapid advancements all the way through from the beginning until even right now. I mean, I don't think we thought a year ago that we'd still be talking about this every week.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's become a highlight of my Monday. So I'll say that's another.
No, I love having you. I love having you on. And there's always a lot of stuff going on at the county. And I think, it's been really good to have the open dialogue with you guys, you and Lisa and Matt Willis and others, and also have Supervisor Redoni on the air every week on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. and then at 5 p.m. And he has done a bang-up job interviewing different people from different departments from the County of Marin. And, you really just get a better sense of what's going on out there I think, in a sense, another silver lining has been that the outreach and the meetings going virtual have increased West Marin's participation in county activities, because that drive to Civic Center, it takes up a lot of time.
It does. And I really hope that that's something that is maintained even after the state says, these civic meetings are now allowed to take place in person once again. We're starting to see that some events are permitted in outdoor settings with larger audiences and that sort of thing. So we know that it's going to continue to increase over time. But I 100% agree. The virtual connectivity, there have been a lot of pros, a lot of benefits that have come out of that, especially on the engagement side. And even aside from the Zoom connectivity, I also will say it's times like this when the going gets tough, whether it be a pandemic or, those mass power outages or some sort of crisis, this community tends to come together. And I've been just continually reminded and so, dumbfounded is what's coming to mind. That's not quite what I want to say, but just amazed at the level of commitment of our various community organizational partners. I know we have several in West Marin, and they're quite frankly all over the county, but how they'll step up and join forces with the county or with their local city and town, just because at the end of the day, we all have the same audience. Effectively, we're all serving Marin residents. It varies day to day on what service we provide, when, where, and how. But it's just really heartwarming to see that collaborative spirit get re-energized in these situations. And I hope that also is something we can all maintain, these great partnerships, even after the pandemic is over, for the good of our community and those in need.
Yeah, I mean, I've been encouraged because I've been able to drop in to different meetings much more easily that when I don't have to plan to make that trip. So I think my personal participation in some of the stuff that's been going on at the county has definitely picked up.
Yeah, so let's keep it up. And anybody who hasn't engaged, our board meetings are now on Zoom, as well as the traditional streaming service that we used to offer. So I encourage people, go to marincounty.org. You'll see a little box on there that says Board of Supervisors. You know, those agendas are posted every Thursday afternoon. Take a peek at what's happening and tune in and listen to a board meeting now and then. It's just very interesting to see the wide array of things that are covered. And you have an opportunity to comment on these things. These are all open. When they say, you know, public forum, public engagement, they truly mean it. And even if something is not on the agenda but is extremely important to you as a Marin County resident, they have that public open time at the beginning of every agenda that you get, you know, 2 to 3 minutes to have your say. So if there's an issue in your community that you feel is not being fairly looked at or addressed, you have a voice. And so I hope that people will take advantage of now, as you mentioned, Amanda, this new way to connect and engage and let your voice be heard. And please engage with your local county government. We want to hear from you and make sure that we're focused on the things that are most important to our residents across the county.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I'm getting the feeling that Dr. Lisa has been pulled into an important meeting or other such thing and isn't going to join us. So I just want to remind folks that I'm talking with Lainey Hendricks, the Public Information Officer from the County of Marin. And a reminder to everyone that we're still under a red flag warning, our first one of the year, as Lainey mentioned. And that goes through the end of today. The temperatures will be dropping throughout the week, but there's no precipitation in the 7-day forecast at this point in time, nor is there any fog in the forecast. And the winds have been pretty strong. So, and I can say I do some trash pickup once a month with some friends. And the number of cigarette butts we are finding on the side of the road is alarming. And so if you or you know somebody who is somebody who has chosen to smoke cigarettes while they're driving a vehicle, they should put them in the... Do they even make ashtrays in cars anymore, Lainey?
You know, that's a great question.
I don't know.
I hate to admit, I have a really old car, so mine came with one, but it's like 17 years old. So
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe anymore. There's a product that we can develop that we can magnetize ashtrays for people so they don't throw their cigarette butts out. But also just be aware if your car has a catalytic converter, don't drive into deep grass and try to, you know, keep things mowed down around your place as much as you can, because defensible space is key in these times. And we know that not only electric wires cause fires, there are lots of ignition sources out there, and you don't want to be the one to start a fire.
That's right. Just don't do it. Oh my gosh, I can't believe fire season's here.
I know. So in terms of the EOC activation for the COVID-19 pandemic, where is the county with that activation?
Well, we're still going strong. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. You know, we're definitely making, we're in discussions right now, beginning to make the plans of when would the EOC potentially deactivate or demobilize, if you will, for the COVID response. Obviously, if there's another crisis that pops up, like a major wildfire or something like that, the EOC has staff standing by and ready to dive into that response if needed. But on the COVID front, you know, looking at a various number of indicators of when might be the right time to do that. Now, let me just preface this for anybody that is hearing what I'm saying and is thinking that
it's going away because the EOC. No, we're in it.
Right.
We're going to be in COVID for a long time. So maybe it becomes like a separate sort of working group or some sort of even a sub-department of HHS or something.
Well, that's exactly it. So let's do a little EOC 101 for people who are listening and maybe aren't familiar with the emergency management system and how an emergency operations center factors into that. So whenever there is a crisis, so maybe it's a fire or something like that, there's usually that responding agency, which is the lead agency. If it's a simple house fire, it's your local, if it's within an incorporated area, it's that city fire department. If it's unincorporated, obviously it's Marin County Fire or a volunteer fire department supporting them, so on and so forth. When a crisis the scope of the crisis should go beyond that of what that responding agency can handle, or it affects multiple jurisdictions. So say it's a wildfire that has, you know, for example, affected West Marin as well as the cities and towns of Sausalito, Corte Madera, Mill Valley, so on and so forth. That is a larger response than just a single agency or a couple of agencies. And that's generally when we would activate the Emergency Operations Center. So I could really go on forever about this, so I'll try to narrow it down to 2 minutes.
Cool.
The Emergency Operations Center really is to assist with coordination. And that is not only, you know, operational, who should go where in delivering the service or the response. It also assists with logistics. What supplies do we need? What people power do we need? You know, everything in between that could go into that operation. And as we know, this is also scalable. So if it's a huge regional effort, we then may activate to the state level. And then if it's even bigger, like think something like Hurricane Katrina, which was multiple states, that's where FEMA comes in.
Right.
Okay, so where am I going with this? As we look at demobilizing, we're looking at how might this response continue, meaning we're still offering some various services or operational support without needing the EOC. So where I'm going with this is, yes, Marin Health and Human Services would probably still provide elements of the COVID-19 response, but it's something that would then be absorbed back into Marin County Public Health in terms of their normal operations. They no longer need the additional staff support, the additional resources, the additional coordination that has been going on because the pandemic was so large. So, yes, it's not that when the EOC closes, Marin County is walking away and nobody can find testing or nobody can get a vaccine anymore. It just means that the response has simmered down to a level that can be operated within that normal scope of the department. So that's what we're looking at, is what are those trigger points that, okay, it's now at a certain point that Marin Public Health says, hey, we've got it from here. Thank you to the other agencies and volunteers that have been supporting us in this massive response.
Right. And the other part of that is that we know that it can turn on a dime if necessary.
Course.
And that's what's super important.
Yeah. And those are part of the contingency plans as well, is when we might need to go the other direction and remobilize or upstaff if we have, you know, a major a variant that seems to be vaccine resistant, or we see waning immunity from the vaccine or whatever it may be, and we have a surge of cases, you know, how do we quickly upstaff again and provide that level of support that we once had? So lots of conversation happening in that area. Yeah.
The nimbleness is very much unprecedented and very much appreciated. Well, Lainey, we've done it again, taken up almost 30 minutes of people's time with information, and I think much of it, if not all of it, was excellent, and I thank you for your time and for your insights and for joining me all these times on Mondays on KWMR.
You got it. Have a great rest of your day and a great week.
You too. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. You can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Coming up next is the Bioneers, followed by the Farm and Food Shed Report and Milk Street Radio.